yesterday, my wife and I celebrated our 6-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's funny, too, how kids change your life. We had all these great plans for what we're going to do for our 6-year wedding anniversary. We're going to go here. We can't do that because we got a new baby. Okay, so we're going to go, we'll stay in town. We'll go to Olive Garden for lunch or dinner or something. We can't go too far because we have a newborn who's nursing. Okay, we'll just take her with us and we'll have the boy, the toddler, stay with one of the grandparents. That didn't work out. We ended up taking baby Lizzie with us to lunch at Ming Hua's Chinese restaurant, which is just 2 blocks away from our toddler, where our toddler was staying. And we had a lunch for $10. It was great, though. We loved it. Ming Hua's is one of our favorite places to eat, so we had a good time anyway, and it was funny. But we wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. The kids are awesome. You guys know my son is, you can't take him anywhere. He's just, he is the, you ever wonder if anybody's inside the Energizer Bunny commercials? Davey's inside the suit, and he just keeps going and 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 going. We took him out to my grandpa's in Colorado, and he was only probably 14 months at the time, and he's running all over the place. He just has a big open ranch-style house. It's just, oh, back and forth, back and forth. He looked at us and said, does he ever stop?
10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock at night. This kid is just running everywhere, and he just, no, he does not stop. So it's fun. We love kids. Today's message is called That's the Power of Love. I know most people are thinking of Huey Lewis right now, and you know, and we're going to talk about him a little bit. I think he was a prophet. Some of the things he says is right on. But that's the power of love. This is kind of something that has sprung out of my own devotions one day several months ago. So today's message is going to be a little more devotional, and I hope that we can learn a little bit more about love from the Bible. We'll see if we can figure this love thing out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak your word today. God, I pray, Father, that we can understand love better from your word, from the way you exercise it, from the way you've already shown it and you continue to show it. Father, I'm convinced that there's something here. I haven't got it all figured out, but I'm convinced we're on to something. Father, I just pray that you would be glorified this morning as we learn more from you, from your word. I ask this Christ in your name. Amen. Where God's word is, God is. God is attached to his word. Men and women live and die by their words, and God is no different. So as we look at today's subject, we ask, what is love? Every time I ask that question, I can't get that 80s club song out of my head. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. What is love? What is love? Love, I think, is one of our greatest misunderstandings, especially secularly speaking. If we take a look here, just so you know, this message is not PG. So if you have younger ones, you may not want them to hear. This word, love equals sex. Now, I know when I say sex, anybody who is not paying attention is now paying attention. That's just one of those hot words. We talked about words in speech class and words that grab people's attention right away. You say sex, you got everybody's attention. But love equals sex. Love is sex. Right? Wrong. Wrong. We know better. But our society tells us what? Love is sex and sex is love. If you're loving, you're having sex. And if you're having sex, then you're loving. That's how our relationships are taught to us. If you're a young teenage girl in the room, you might want to understand some things about this. This is wrong. Don't ever let a guy tell you that. Don't ever let a guy tell you, if you love me, you'll do this. Very simply, sex cannot be love. Otherwise, how could we love our coaches, teachers, siblings, pastors, parents? If sex is love, how could we love those people? I love it when people talk about things and just make the obvious obvious. And why is this important? It's important for us to understand our misunderstandings, because the way we understand certain things carries into a lot of areas of our lives. Another very basic misunderstanding is love is a feeling. Here's where I like to quote Huey Lewis from his song, who says, "The power of love is a curious thing. Make a one man weep, make another man sing. Change a hawk to a little white dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love." More than a feeling, it's more than a feeling, come on. If it's a feeling, we're in trouble. Because feelings what?
Change.
Are they certain? No. They come and go. When I took psychology at Trinity University, we talked about the butterflies in your stomach when you fall in love, as we say today. And we talked about that feeling you get sometimes when you're around somebody. Statistically and psychologically, it's proven that there you do get a little bit of a feeling sometimes. But they say usually, on average, it doesn't last any more than 2 years. And even then, it comes and goes. A lot of people base their love on their relationships on that feeling. I don't have that feeling anymore. I've fallen out of love with this person. It's probably the reason why the divorce rate's so high today. Even among Christians, Christians are no better when it comes to divorce rate. But if we base it on a feeling that comes and goes, I know my wife wouldn't be with me right now. And vice versa. Because sometimes that feeling just isn't there. What is love? Is it a promise? What is marriage? Marriage is a promise. It's a promise that you're keeping. You know, I don't believe in this, there's only one person for me. You know, Hollywood stuff. There are people out there who probably could be better for me than my wife. There are people out there for my wife, men, who could be better than me for her. But marriage is not about that. Marriage is keeping the promise that we made to each other. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you have the only one. God gives you a lot of freedom to who you choose, as long as it's within the Lord, as long as they're a believer. I could have married any woman as long as she believed in Jesus Christ. But I chose her, and I'm going to promise and keep that promise to her. I'm not going to try and keep the feeling going. I can't control that. Obviously, this is wrong. Love is not a feeling. Love can produce feelings, but we'll talk about that later. Here's one that is a very common one, too. Love is not real. Love does not exist. Do I even need to refute that? Seriously? I think people who say this are people who have been in relationships and just been so hurt. They just say, true love doesn't really exist. It can't happen. It can't happen. It's a myth. People are just living a lie. We know that's not true. It's important to understand our misunderstandings. If we get into these kind of ideas, they affect and skew our view of what is right. That's man's greatest misunderstanding. I want you to know that love is the same in all situations, although it produces many other things. Can it produce sex? Absolutely. Can love produce feelings? Absolutely. Can love move people to do things? Absolutely. Love is the foundation or cause of many things. And love is defined, I looked this up on dictionary.com, It's one of my favorite resources. There's 28 different meanings, and I don't think any one of them was right. What they describe, and I think it's the way man goes at it, is what love produces. Love produces affections, it produces compassion, it produces feelings, it produces these things. But is love a feeling? Is love an affection? Is love having that? I'm not convinced. I want you to see here Colleen Perry, who was a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of California. She was the one who made that great point there about if love is sex, how can we love our coaches and teachers and siblings and all that? This doesn't make sense. She said love is not about giving up what's best, or love is about mutual respect, wanting what's best for the other, or even if it's not what's best for you. I'm not sure if she's a believer or not, but that's pretty good. That's a pretty good description of love. But I want you to take a look at the scripture here and see what the scripture says about love. Let's read that there. If you have any encouragement from me, this is Philippians 2, 1 through 4, united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, that's God's love, that'll come into play later. There's any comfort from his love, if there's any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, if you're like me, you probably think, and for a long time I thought, you know what, this is a good description of humility. But I've changed my mind. I think this is a good description of love in action, which love in action produces humility. Love is not being selfish. You guys know 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to go there. I purposely left that one out. But love is obviously the opposite of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Love is humility in that it considers others better than yourselves. Isn't that what the love and respect of marriage is all about? Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. When I read this passage, I'm just like, I want to be that, but I'm not that. I consider myself the most selfish person on the planet. But I feel like I have such a noble heart, and I read those things, and I'm like, I want to learn this. I want to be this. I think if I was born in the 1300s, I'd probably been a knight. Just noble. I'm just this noble, loyal person. It's funny. I probably would have died for some cause that didn't mean anything. But because I'm noble and loyal to whoever my king would have been, but I just feel like when I read this, I want to be there. But I'm not. I haven't figured out the love thing yet. But thank God preachers never preach what they mastered. They preach what they're learning. They preach what God is showing them, and I'm showing you what God is showing me. Love was first man's greatest misunderstanding. But I want you to see also that love is God's greatest gift. God is love. Let's start there, 1 John 4:17. God is love. There's so much there in just that. God is love. But for now, I want you to think of God as the wellspring of love, the source. I'm just going to let the scripture speak here. I'm going to let the scripture do the talking. What else does the scripture say about God's love? It says his love endures forever. Psalm 136, it says 26 times in that psalm, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. How long is forever? It's a long time. It lasts a long, long time. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite passages. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you can see that. I have the earth underlined. Why is this passage important? Why is it neat? Why is it cool? Because something that's always fascinated me is the fact that God is God. Okay? Well, what do you mean? I mean, he's God. He's God of the universe. He has all power at his fingertips. He could do anything he wants. Anything. There's nobody who can stand up to him and say, what you're doing is wrong. Whatever he does is right. There's nobody who can challenge him. There's nobody who can question him. He is the God. So why did he love us? Why did he have to love us? He didn't have to love us. He didn't have to make us. He didn't have to do any of that. What fascinates me is he's the God of the universe, yet who is like him that he sits enthroned on high, that he's so far above us, yet he takes time out of his day to look down on us, to look at the earth and see what's going on in the earth and to be involved with what's going on in the earth and to love those who are on the earth. That is huge. It always fascinated me when we pray, we say, Heavenly Father. And I always thought about that. It's kind of like heavenly, God of the universe, mega God. He's over everything. Father, he's caring, he's tender, he loves you. That's so cool. Two things in one title. Heavenly Father. That's what I see in this passage. There's love there. Love that he's interested in what's going on in the earth, even though he sits enthroned and high. Next one. Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all that he has made. That's the NIV there. Again, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Who's going to question him? Who can? Nobody. He's the great God of the universe. And he's what? Loving toward all that he has made. So maybe we should take care of this planet, huh? He's loving toward all that he has made. Maybe we should consider some things here. Next one. Continuing God's greatest gift, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Most of us know this passage speaking of the fact that Jesus Christ's death has paid for our is a sacrifice for our sins. And that's a gift that we can receive him by faith. Now this is big because I always used to think that grace was the all of everything. Grace is why everything matters. But I've changed my perspective. Love has inspired grace. Grace could not happen without love. Love is the foundation. God is love. Grace is generosity. Generosity comes from a love. Hopefully we can develop that a little bit more. Listen to this. Come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Jesus and the Spirit are speaking here. The bride and the Spirit are speaking here in Revelation. And they say, come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. What is the water of life? John chapter 4, same thing that Jesus offered the woman at the well. It is eternal life. It's yours. It's free. Whoever. This is a tough passage for some of us, but I want you to understand that twice it says whoever. This is very inclusive. There's love here for everybody. Nobody can ever excuse themselves from God's love. Nobody can say, God doesn't love me enough because of what I've done. Whatever. He says, whoever. That means you. That means you. Nobody can say, I'm excluded. Again, this is why love inspires grace. Love is what moved God. Love is what has inspired God. Love has had the power to move God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We all know this passage. Why is it so important? It tells you the reason why he saved us. Why did he save us? Loved. Again, an inclusive word. The world, that's everybody. And guess what? Anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what the power of love is, and you're going to find this out as you study the word. The power of love is it inspires. It moves you. It produces things. Love, and this is what hit me. Love moved an all-powerful God who didn't have to lift a finger for us. Love so moved him to sacrifice his only Son, to put all the sins of the world, all of our sins, all of us lowly things, onto his shoulders. Love made him do this. Love for us. I shared in a prayer a couple weeks ago a story that we heard at the conference we were at. A guy was speaking, and he was talking about he was a medical missionary in India. And this is a little graphic, but it makes a good point. He was speaking of a medical missionary who was the only guy around. They were taking care of lepers in India. And one of the lepers' mouths was just, it was gone. He didn't have any lips. The disease had taken it away. Well, the man began to suffocate. The medical missionary was the only one around, and he knew exactly what was happening to the guy, and he knew there was only one way to fix it. If this is not love, then I don't know what is. This guy could have walked away. It's just another leper. It's just another low man on the caste system in India. No, he went up to the man and gave him mouth to mouth. Breathed life into his lungs so that the man might live. That's what we are. We're the leper with no mouth, no lips. God chose to move anyway and to breathe life into our lungs. That's huge because of love. Love is powerful. Think about the power of love. Think about when love was done wrong. When love is done the wrong way, what can it do? It makes people mad, makes them upset, sometimes leads to death. Anyone read Romeo and Juliet? Man. We were discussing this morning, and I can't remember. I think it was Juliet who faked her death. Took just enough of the poison to make it look like she was dead. Romeo comes on the scene. I'm spoiling this for those of you who haven't read the story. So Romeo comes on the scene, sees that she's dead, frets, drinks the rest of the poison, and kills himself so that he might join her in eternity. Juliet wakes up and finds Romeo dead. And I believe, if I remember right, Juliet then takes her own life for real. I think. It's been so long. But love is powerful. It moves people to take their own lives if it's done wrong. But if it's so powerful it can move a great God to save us, that's huge. Love has a power. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say, get your act together. Get yourself up to this point right here, and then I'll do something for you. Okay? Despite your wickedness, despite your leprosy, he breathed life into your lungs. Despite the way we looked and how bad we were, he still sent his Son to die for us, and this was a demonstration of his love. Again, such power that would move God to have his son die for us when we still were his enemies, when we still disobeyed. That's huge. You cannot overlook this. Why is this huge? Well, as we've been saying, love has the great power. It has power to inspire a God of the universe to look down on us, Psalm 113, 5-6, sees that we are sinners, Romans 5-8, and because his love is everlasting and loves all that he has made, Psalm 136, 145, 17, he has sent his one and only Son so that he might take the water of life freely and spend eternity with him in heaven. This is love. Love has produced us the opportunity to have eternal life. Love has produced us the opportunity to spend eternity with God, to be in his family. Again, notice the inclusiveness of love, of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, that whoever, people, if you're in here today and you think you have an excuse, that passage is there to show you you don't. God loves you so much that he gave up his son. Don't miss that. If you're listening on the internet, don't miss that. God loves you so much he gave up his only son. He made him the sacrifice for your sins so that you don't have to worry about your sins anymore. Your sins are covered by his blood. Don't take that to the extreme. After you're saved, you want to live a holy life. But in order to be saved by Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about your sin. It's taken care of. All you have to do is believe in the sacrifice. That's what the Hebrews did. They took their sacrifices to God and they were done worrying about their sins. That's the way it worked. That's the way the atonement works. The power of love is to inspire, arouse, encourage, stimulate, and produce everything that God requires of us in this world. What is love? I'm not quite sure. I'm still learning. But I understand that love is powerful. I'm just seeing God exercise it through his word. That's just a few hand-picked scriptures. Okay, I could have put a whole bunch up there. Love is the Christian's greatest command. I want you to see this. Of all things in the scripture, another thing that hit me as I'm studying this, of all things of scripture, it seems like love is held out above all else. Everywhere you turn, it's love, 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 love. Or it's talking about things that I believe are produced by love. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 13. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Again, we talked a few weeks back, a few months back about the law. This is not the law. This is a command by Jesus Christ. He didn't say this is a law you've heard of. He didn't say this is the law of Moses. He said, "A new command I give to you, me, Jesus, this is me, and this is my command." Some of you say, "Well, yeah, but the law says love your neighbor as you love yourself." Well, that's the law. Listen to this. Notice how this is different from the law. The degree to which you are to love one another has changed. Love your neighbor only as much as you love yourself was the law. You want to talk about stepping it up a notch? You want to talk about a new command? Love your neighbor as I, Jesus Christ, have loved you. That is way, way higher than just as much as you loved yourself. Some of us don't love ourselves that much. Some of us don't take care of ourselves that well. Some of us do things that are harmful to our body repetitively because we're addicted. Or, I mean, if we smoke or we eat too much food or if we drink too much alcohol, that's the degree to which I had to love my neighbor. No, Jesus Christ steps it up a notch. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's huge. That's a higher love, much higher. "And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Love is a form of obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Again, doesn't say you'll keep the law of Moses. Jesus says you'll keep my commands. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Not Moses' teaching, not anyone else's, not the Pharisees. Obey my teaching. And because you love me and obey my teaching, my Father will love you. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. This is John 14:21-24. Actually, I left out 22, I think, or verse 23. Judas asks a question in between that, but it's... It says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus replies to the question, again, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Obedience and love seem to be linked here. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And anyone who does not love me will obey my teaching. Will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now, a lot of us get confused here. We think, well, if anyone who does not love me is an unbeliever. Well, that's not always true. There are plenty of unbelievers who don't obey. There are plenty of believers in Christ who do not obey his teaching in certain areas of their lives. They're obviously not showing their love for him, are they? Notice Jesus is not talking to unbelievers here. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. Not only the disciples, the apostles, the ones who walked with him, the ones who are believers. He's telling believers, if you love me, you will obey me. He's not telling this. This is not talking about unbelievers. That's totally contrary to the context and to the word. So there's a bit of a warning there, Christian. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Love is a great command for us. Love is huge for us. Again, Jesus says in John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That's what he said in John 13:34-35. Why, Jesus, are you repeating yourself? Because this is important. You're supposed to do this, and I want you to know this. And not only that, when the Spirit comes, he'll remind you of what I told you about this. Love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Again, a bit of a warning. It's conditional. Love, this is not talking about unbelievers. You are my friends if you do what I command. He's talking to his disciples. Very simply, John 15:17. This is my command. Again, my command. This isn't Moses' command. This is my command. Jesus, love each other. God's greatest command. So far, we learned love is a choice. Obedience is a choice, and obedience and love are linked together. Love is a choice for us Christians. Look at John 16:27. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came from God. Because you have loved Jesus. Because you have loved Jesus. Love is a command. We saw this. John 15:17 says, this is my command. Love each other. We saw it like 3 or 4 times. Jesus said the same thing. Love, 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 love. Love is action. What did Jesus tell his disciples to do? Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all. Everything, that's a little redundant. Must have been my typing error. All that I commanded you. Again, If we were going to have to follow the law, wouldn't this be a good place for Jesus to slip that one in? Teach them to obey all that Moses commanded? No. Jesus said, teach them to obey all that I commanded you. What did he just command them? Love each other. Love each other. You know how simple that is, but how profound and how far-reaching the implications of that are? Love produces all the other things that God requires of us. If you have love, the foundation, you can build a pyramid up on that. Everything else flows from this. I don't have this up there, but turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'll begin reading it here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Why is love first on the list? It's God's greatest command. Amen to that. And I agree with Dr. Michael Eaton, who says love is first on the list because everything that follows comes because you're loving. You are self-controlled. Thank you, Jeff. You are self-controlled because you love. You're patient because you are loving. You are good and kind and joyful and at peace because you love. You are peaceful because you love. Love produces these things. Love is not these things. Now, here's where I want to get you here. Love is not these things. Love, the power of love, whatever love is, it produces these things. It makes these things happen. It makes it possible. Okay? Go to the next slide, Jeff. Or is that it? Was it it? Okay. So, what is love? I don't know exactly. You know, a question that hit me, and I don't know, if you have an answer, go ahead and say it. What is love to God? I know what love is to us because God is love. God is the wellspring. He is the source. He is the headwaters. He's the foundation. He's the beginning of love. What we know about love is only because of what we've seen him do in love. What we know about love is only because of the way he exercised his love. So what is love to the one who created it? I don't know. Could be. And whatever it is, it has this power. It has this power to move you. One last thing I want you to think about is when we witness. This is what motivates me. If God of the universe was so moved by love for us that he gave up his only son, can't we be moved by love to share this message? Can't we be moved by the power of love to see people come to the knowledge of the Son of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice for sins? We'll end up with this here. We were at the conference. One of the sessions I got to sit in, the guy was talking about witnessing. It was really neat. He said, witnessing's like golf. What is golf? You're trying to get the ball as close as to the hole as you can. And well, people are like, well, you want to get a hole in one. He's like, well, what if the hole is 500 yards away? Nobody can hit the ball that far and get a hole in one. You'll always fall back at, you know, at the best, I don't know, if maybe 300 yards, 350. Anyway, the whole idea is you're trying to get as close as you can to the hole. He's like, sometimes when you witness, it's like that. You have a 500-yard hole. Sometimes you just get to explain yourself, and you may not sink your putt. You may not sink it in there, but you got that far with them. Maybe someone else will come along and finish up. Some of them are what is called a tap-in. When you're just a foot away from the hole, and it's a tap-in. It's a for sure. He was talking about one time he was working at McDonald's, and he was sitting there sleeping, had his hat over his eyes, and someone walked up to him, and they started talking. And the person said, "I've always wanted to become a Christian, but I just never knew how." It's a tap-in. That person came right up to them and was asking. But let's not get discouraged by the 500-yarder. The power of love can drive us, can drive that ball 300 yards. Maybe you'll go the whole way. Maybe you won't. But if the power of love can inspire God to send his son, the power of love can inspire us to share his message. That's all I have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in your word, God, to learn about love. And the power of love, God, is so powerful. Like I said, Father, all we got to do is look at what it does when it's wrong. But when it's right, when love is done right, it inspires a great God to send his son. It can inspire us to stay home at night, to have a long and happy marriage, a long and happy family. Father, it can inspire us to share your love, your message. God, I pray that you would fill us with this power. This is what I seek. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. Paul said, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Think about the power of love and how it moved God to send his son. Just think about that this week. Study it. Be an imitator of it. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Have a good Sunday.